Lord Jesus, we ask you, please, that your word, it would change us, it would reveal to us who we are and what we are and why we do what we do. God, I pray for anybody that's here that has never understood what exactly this whole thing is, that today would make things clearer because your word doesn't mince words. God, I thank you so much for your loving grace. Pour your spirit on us now, please. Holy Spirit, we invite you. Lead us into truth. In Christ's name, amen. In the scriptures, in the book of Matthew, the Lord said that he spoke in parables, he spoke in stories, he spoke in these vague references for a very intentional reason. And it wasn't so that people had understanding, it's so they didn't have understanding. It's so, you know what? I don't even want you to know at this point what this message is about. If you want to know, come and get it. But to you, he says, it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. What I'm going to explain to you today will reveal to all of you exactly what it is that we do and why we do it. The Lord Jesus gets a little militant here. He gets a little bit to a point of, you know what? You don't want it? Fine. Don't take it. It's very interesting what transpires here. There's two principles we're going to look at today. One is sheep and one is shepherd. And who we are and what we do. When I first became a pastor, I have a good friend of mine from Maine. His name is Ken Graves. He has an extremely deep voice. Some of you guys have heard him. He speaks. He'll be here. As a matter of fact, he told me he doesn't, if he shows up, he's going to come down here in March. And when you hear him, you see he talks like this. And he says, Ryan, let me explain to you what ministry is about. Ministry is basic barnyard principles. And I was like, okay, barnyard principles. Keep going. He goes, there are sheep. There are pigs. There are wolves. And there are foxes. As a shepherd, you must understand who is the pig dog and throw him out of your church. I said, well, how do you know a pig dog? Very simple. They take your pearls and they trample them. I see. Is that it? That's it. Now go teach the word. Okay. And the more I get into ministry now in our 13th year as a church, praise the Lord, I understand he was right. And I understand now that he didn't want to explain to me more than the Lord Jesus would explain to those who wanted to know. You do not live a Christian life to become a Christian. You are a Christian, therefore you live a Christian life. It's been well said, a horse thief is not a horse thief because he robs horses. He robs horses because he's a horse thief. Now, at first, your brain is trying to lock in on, like, what do you, I don't get it. You'll get it. You don't live a Christian life to be a Christian. You're a Christian, therefore, you live a Christian life. It's the simple matter of the chicken and the egg theory. What came first, the chicken or the egg? Says who? All right, fair enough. Oh, well, if you're going to invoke that name, go ahead. Listen and be confused, as everybody else has been. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. I don't feel so bad now because I have no idea what he just said. Now, I thought that the Lord Jesus was the shepherd, but he says right there clearly, I'm the door. You're the door. So figure this out. Are you a sheep here? Because let me tell you, depending on how long you've been walking with the Lord, if you're new, if you're not accepted Christ as your Savior, or it's been something that you've been struggling with, let me tell you something. Just me saying to you, are you a sheep? I mean, you're bucking up in your spirit right now. You're like, what? I ain't no sheep. I ain't nobody's sheep. I don't follow nobody. Nobody tells me what to do. Nobody treats me like they're sheep. Yeah, right. It was Bob Dylan who said it best. You're going to worship somebody. It might be the devil, it might be God, but you're going to worship somebody. And it's those rebellious people who refuse to see themselves as sheep at all who are the most sheep. And they do whatever they're told to do, whatever is expected of them by their friends and by society. They are the worst followers in the world. It was my old friend, Brian Werner. Silly little name, Brian Werner. My name is Brian Werner. For you guys that might not know him by his nom de plume, it's Marilyn Manson. He used to, at all his shows, have a shirt. On the front, it had his picture, of course, and on the back, it says, "The Lord is a shepherd." Your people want to be sheep, then you follow Jesus. But if you're not a sheep, you follow me. One of the most freeing things for me was the day I actually looked up and said, I am your sheep. I have no problem being your sheep. You know why? Because you're the baddest man that has ever walked the planet, and you're the greatest shepherd that ever lived. I will follow you. You have my sword. You have my strength. You have my smarts. I'll die for you, and I'll kill for you if need be. Where you go, I go. Where you lead me, I follow. I am truly a follower. But I wrote some things down about sheep. Once I realized I was a sheep, I guess it was time to start acting like a sheep, because I didn't want to act like a sheep because I was trying to be a sheep. First, I had to be a sheep to act like a sheep. You understand how this is working now? Sheep, according to Scripture in Leviticus 11, they're clean animals. They are ritually pure. First thing to being a sheep is to realizing, as a sheep, nobody is worth defiling myself for. Nobody will have sexual power over me anymore. I'm going to do what I want to do with my body and with my life, not that somebody else wants me to do it. Because a sheep, according to Scripture, is a pure animal. Willing sacrifice, a sacrifice that God willingly receives. They are harmless as doves, according to Matthew chapter 10. They're helpless, according to James. Without him, you can do nothing. They are completely dependent upon God. They are useful to the master, and they are very prone to wander. Boy, oh boy, I was failing all of them except that last one. The one that I can actually do is wander a lot. Without my shepherd, what am I? I'm a lost sheep. Receiving this now will make everything else I say better. But if you kid yourself now and say, I'm nobody's sheep, then you're lying to yourself, and you better figure that out now. Because if you lie to yourself, you are stuck. You are trapped. You are in bondage. You just don't realize it. But know that you will, in the fullness of time, there will become a time where you look in the mirror, as all of us have, and said, you're horrible. You hurt the people you love. And you love the people you should hate. And unfortunately, you will say to yourself, I hate you. I hate what you become. I hate who you are. You young folk here might be like, oh, that's ridiculous. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I'll be here. Don't worry. Verse 7, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out. And I love that. And find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have more abundant life. They have it more abundantly. Again, he says, if you are my sheep, I will give you freedom. You will come in and go out. You will be saved. Saved. Soso in the Greek. Your spirit will be reborn. You will never have to worry about dying. You will never die. Period. Well, that's not true. Everybody dies. Well, everybody dies, but not everybody lives. Couldn't help myself. I watched Braveheart this week. It was Zahn. I just had to watch it. Everybody dies in the physical, but you see, if you're born twice, you only die once. If you're born once, you shall die twice. Interesting. At some point in time, you look at somebody and say, I'll follow you. Nobody is a leader of themselves. Nobody leads to a place where you cannot lead. There are two shepherds in this life. There is a good shepherd and a bad shepherd. A good shepherd shall lead you to eternal life. He shall lead you to the things which cause your life to be good. I love it when people come to this church and they say, what's in it for you guys? They hang out with our brothers. We sharpen each other. And the first thing that they do is this look. You guys, you want to come to a men's meeting? Hey, we're going to go out and grab some breakfast. We're going to do this. And it's that look. And you know what that look says? What's in it for you? And they're here a few months and they find out, you know what's in it for us? Nothing. We follow Christ, and Christ as our example, who got nothing out of our relationship, we get nothing out of our relationship with you. We're volunteers. You are valueless financially to me. Valueless. I could care less. I get, whether that thing takes in a literal lot, that box on the wall there, pays me nothing. Matter of fact, this church cost me and my wife a lot when it comes to finances, when it comes to time, when it comes to pain and tears. It's a net loss. You got to figure that out. This place is a sanctuary. And then there's the bad shepherd. And you know what the bad shepherd gets out? The bad shepherd gets out of you your money, gets out of you your sex, gets out of you your effort and your energy. And you know what you get out of it? hell. I remember we were doing a job back in the day, and we all got arrested. And my shepherd at the time said to me, "Listen, you and Frankie are going to take this pinch for me." And I was like, "Whoa, what are you talking about?" He's like, "Look, you both say I wasn't there." Wait, what do you mean you weren't there? We were there helping you. "Yeah, but if I go away again, I'm getting such and such time." And it's, I've been following this dude. Now he's going to get away scot-free, and I'm going to have to do time. I remember, it was first like, but I thought we were like, you all in the street, kid yourselves. You think they have your best interest in mind? They want your body. They want your money. They want your power. The more power of yours they get, the more power they have. You're a tool in every sense of the word. You're a useful idiot because you follow a bad shepherd who could care less about you. Verse 10 says, "The thief did not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. And when you steal and get away with it, it's fun. And when you kill and get away with it, it's fun. And when you destroy and get away with it, it's fun. But eventually, as the saying goes, you're going to have to pay the piper." And let me just tell you, and I don't know who this is for here, and I don't know why my heart is so desiring to say these things. A prison cell ain't no place for a human being. Cages are for animals. And as one who has spent too many years in a cage, like an animal, I'm warning you now. Don't do it. You don't get rehabilitated in prison. You only get worse. Every time I went away, I got out and I was worse. Ask my mother, she's sitting back there. I didn't get better until I became a sheep and followed the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd, verse 11 says. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. Yeah, don't I know that? And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Verse 14, the Lord Jesus, again, let me remind you, he's speaking to the Jews as the leadership. He's speaking to his apostles. He's speaking to the disciples. He says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay my life down for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." The hireling. Let me explain to you what a hireling is. The Lord Jesus called me to be saved. He knocked on my heart as a small child, and I ignored it for 30 years. No, not 30 years, about 20 years. I had no time for God. I had no time for his plan. And then the more trouble I got into my life, the more I called upon God. The more God rescued me from my trouble, the further away from him I ran. Until I had shut myself into a box, and the one thing I was absolutely positive of was that there is absolutely no way God wants anything more to do with me. I've burnt that bridge. That's when God opened the cage. You understand me? And he saved me, and he did something that I never thought could be done. He gave me a heart for hurting people. Believe me, and I say this crassly and intentionally so that you'll understand me. Before Christ, I wouldn't have pissed on you if you were on fire. I could care less about human beings, even a little. But God did something crazy in my heart. And I don't know how, and only now do I know why. Because you are on fire, and you don't need to be peed on. You need to be loved out of it. And that's what I'm here to do, to be a shepherd for Christ. I'm not the good shepherd, but I'm doing my best to follow the good shepherd. But let me tell you about a hireling. Okay, now as horrible as this sounds, and if it sounds mean to those who might come from another denomination or thing, listen to me. Ministry is not a career choice. If you get into ministry as a career option, you're a hireling. You get paid. If you are the type of person who comes in and has to introduce somebody else to teach the word, you're a hireling. If you've been offered 60 grand a year, if you're going to seminary, cemetery school, if you're going to a school where they're going to teach you how to be a pastor, you're on your way to becoming a hireling. Because unless your heart breaks for the sheep, unless you're ready to be broken, unless you're to carry people through life and death, unless you're ready to baptize them and walk them through marriage problems and hold them when their kids are hurt or when their parents die, unless you are ready to dig into drugs and alcohol and sexual perversion, unless you are ready for this life, stay away from it. Unless you are not afraid of the sheep. Do you know how many pastors are afraid of their sheep? Believe me. When I first walked into my church, I'd go into church every time and I'd have a tank top on. And I was a little more swole then. I got tattoos all over me. And I'd walk into church and be like, put the big mean mug on. Hey, good to see you. Man, talk to me. And now, in their head, they're probably saying, what's that dude doing in church? I don't even know why I'm here, okay? I'm here because my girlfriend wanted me to come here. Man, go on with it. Hey, how you doing? My name's Eric. So? I'm not kidding. A hireling runs from the sheep. A hireling thinks the sheep are there to make money off of. A hireling will beg for your money. A hireling will beg for your service. A hireling will beg you to follow them. As a matter of fact, a hireling never has enough sheep, but a shepherd is satisfied with one. One is good enough. I've said this before. Look around. We're fairly low today on attendance. If this is all we ever have in here, and the lights are on and the rent's paid, I've lived a very full life. You have invested your life in me, and I have invested my life in you. I'm ready to see my maker and say, I did what you gave me, God. There is no, I can't wait till this church grows, or if we can get more in here. Dean, go get the plates, let's pass it around. The shepherd says, God, whoever you bring me, I'm going to pour everything I have into them. And whether they stay or go, whether they grow or don't, my job as a shepherd is not to judge the sheep. My job as a shepherd is to love the sheep. My job as a shepherd is not to chase them away unless they decide to become a pig dog, in which case you got to go. This ain't a place to network your wares, your products. Back a few years ago, it was Mona V. And people would show up to church and they'd literally have holsters on their side. Here, you got to try this stuff. It's so good, you'll never get sick. And if you would sell 20 bottles, then I'll make 20 and you'll make 20 and we'll make 20. And then you go to bring somebody that's like, whoa. What is this? And then one of the pastors over there got into it. And he started getting all his congregation to sell it. And the guy was making bank, man. He made like 15 grand a month. Just on selling acai berry. hey, you know, I saw that in Publix for like one-third the price. It's different. Yeah, ours is pure. Ours is from the mountains of... Yeah, but now it became a certain place in Brazil. That, it was the Amazon border basin, not from Rio. The acai from Rio is different. And the grapes from California are much better too. Like, how do you do that? I'll tell you how they do that. The Lord Jesus just told them. He just told the Pharisees. He just told the religious leaders, you're a hireling. Do you understand? These sheep, I love them. I care for them. You know what you want from them? Their money, their sex, their time. You want them to exalt you. The shepherd serves the sheep. He's not served by the sheep. Woo! He makes them mad. Verse 17, therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Listen, if somebody said that to you, you'd think they were off their chump. Like, what did you just say? Listen, I lay down my life for the sheep. Nobody takes it from me. I don't do this because I'm getting paid from another church, guys. I don't do this because I have to pay my mortgage by what you put in the box. I do this because I love you. And and I know you love me, most of you guys, some of you guys. Few of you guys? Johnny loves me. My wife has to love me. You love me, Jake? I warm my heart, Jacob, thank you. And do you know what they said to him after he said that? He said, listen, you don't make me lay down my life. I lay down my life willingly. And guess what? I can pick it up and take it back anytime I want. And they looked at him and they were like, here's what they said, watch. Therefore, there was a division again amongst the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, he has a demon. He is mad. Why do you listen to him? Didn't you hear what he just said? He's a wacko. I am the door, the gate, the sheep. He's nuts. Don't listen to this man. Remember what I said? He spoke in parables that some that would believe otherwise don't believe it. I don't care anymore. I'm satisfied with the sheep that I have. My Father is happy with me. Don't listen. Fine. I told you, he gets militant at this point. He's 6 months away from the cross, and he ain't joking no more. He's done a lot of work in front. There's just so many times that you can do a magic trick, and people start to get it. I do this thing. I take a coin. I do this to my girls all the time. I go, here it is. Watch. Do it again, Daddy. I can't do it again. Why? If I do it again, you'll see it. Okay, I'll do it again. Watch, ready? I grab it. Oops. The Lord Jesus has been doing magic tricks now for them for 2.5 years, and they never found. He's raised the dead. He's made the blind to see. He's made the lame to walk. He set the captives free. He's washed it over and over and over again. And you know what? He got sick of them saying, do it again. He got sick of it. No joke. He got righteously sick, what they call righteous indignation. And here's what he says. Verse 21. Others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Listen, I almost forgot this. This is so important. Half of them, or we don't know what percentage, but some of them said, he's nuts, don't listen to him, he's possessed by the devil. The other one said, these aren't the words of a devil. Why is it he said the same thing to all people, and some of them said, I get it. And the other one said, I don't know what you're talking about. Why are some available? I gotta calm down. Why are some sheep so willing to receive what the Word of God says and some just can't hear it? They just refuse. Yeah. Because men love darkness for their deeds were evil, according to John chapter 3. I'm telling you, I'm just reading you the Bible. And some of you guys right now are here like, is this dude going to get to the end? Is he going to keep? Just keep reading. I like it better when you read. But some of you guys are like, oh my goodness. He's the door. We're the sheep. We also have the opportunity to be shepherds following a good shepherd. That's our call, to get nothing out of it. Hey, band that was up here today that did such an amazing job, your salary's doubled. That was great. Alex, doubled. Maddie, where'd he go? Doubled. You guys, you know what they do? They come here on Tuesday, they practice, they get CDs and DVDs, and they get together and talk during the week. All week long, they plan out a set. Hey, you want to do this song? Is this song? They were, you know why? So we can have a moment with God. Praise God. You know what I do in the mornings? I can't go out to breakfast because till 10, 11 o'clock, I have to study. You know why? Because I have to have something to say when I get up here. And let me tell you something. I got a lot of stuff to do. And I'd rather be doing that than preparing for you. No. This is the calling of my life. I'm not a hireling. I'm a shepherd. I can't wait to get in the Word tomorrow. Matter of fact, one of the things that drives me crazy on Sunday that almost causes me to do my, this is really weird. I want to do my Monday devotion on Sunday because I don't know what I'm going to teach next week yet, but I'll find out tomorrow morning. So like tonight, it'll be like 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. We'll be relaxing. I'll be exhausted. I'm like, maybe I should start reading tomorrow's today. Why? Just kind of get a feel. No, just wait till tomorrow. No, but I can read it now. What's the difference? No, just do it tomorrow. This is my struggle. I can't wait. I know John chapter 11. Lazarus rising from the dead. I've known it for a long time. I don't know what I'm going to say. I can't wait to see what God tells me to say. I can't wait. These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Now it was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked into the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long will you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Please circle the word for Christ and right next to it write Messiah. The word Christ does not appear in the New Testament. The word is better rendered Messiah. Christ is coming off like a name at this point in time. It's word better. Are you the Messiah? Are you the Messiah? Tell us plainly, Jesus said, listen, now you'll see why I said he got kind of militant and kind of sick of them, their nonsense. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe me. The works that I do in my Father's name, and they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Let me explain this to you. This is a man walking the face of the earth. Again, give hindsight 20/20 vision for a second. For us, it's easy. The guy was crucified. The guy raised from the dead. That was raised from the dead. Yeah, it's easy for us in retrospect. These people are listening to a man say to him, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep know my voice. You're not of my sheep. I've only done the works that my Father sent me to do. You don't hear me because you're not my sheep. I give my sheep life forever. What did you just say? Now, it's been written by liars that Christ in the scripture never said he was God. If you ask a Jehovah's Witness, if you ask a Mormon, they will tell you God, that the Lord Jesus never said he was God in scripture. I don't know what Bible they're reading, But he flat out plainly says it here, and watch their response when he says it there. Before we read this, I want you to notice something that is really probably the most comforting scripture you can ever read. I don't care what it is. He said, "No one snatches them out of my hand. My Father, who is even greater than all, nobody can snatch anything out of his hand either." You are like, we heard this morning, like this, like a double fist. The Father and the Lord Jesus have your life like this. And nothing gets through except what he allows to get through. Every tragedy and every blessing has gotten there because he allowed it. And if he's let a tragedy on your life, it's because he knew you could handle it. And he knew you would use it to benefit the kingdom. You cannot be snatched out of his hand. You fear not. I remember growing up, again, I talked about this, and I grew up in the era of the Omen and the era of Exorcist. And here's the way we grew up. Here's God, right? And there's the devil. And God's like, and the devil's like, oh, God's going to win. Couldn't be further from the truth. You want to see how powerful God is? Read the first two chapters of Job. When Job, the devil comes to the Lord and says, "That guy Job, I'm going to wreck his life." And God says, "No, you're not. You're only going to do what I tell you to." And he goes, "Yes, okay, that's it. I'm only do what you say. You'll only do what I let you do." "Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, sir." Then why does God let evil happen in the world? Because this world is passing. It's brief. We're going to live forever. Let's say you live 80 years. Let's say you live 90 years. Let's say it's insane and you live triple digits. What is the tick of that? There's a great saying. I heard it. I don't remember the guy's name who said it. He said, a little bird, what was a bird that sharpens his beak? A swallow. He goes to this giant boulder. It's on a mountain. And he sharpens his beak on it, and then he goes away and gets his breakfast. And he does that every day. Well, when that wood, when that rock is melted down to nothing, it's worn away to nothing, that's one day in eternity. I remember thinking of that. I remember he said that. I was like, that's pretty cool. Little bird goes to sharpen his beak on a rock on the side of a mountain. When that mountain is worn away, that's one day in eternity. Yeah, I ain't worried about what happens here. I do, but I'm going to try not to. Okay, here's where we roll through this thing now. 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Now, remember what I said to you a couple weeks ago that's really important? When they get really mad at him, there's obviously something going on there that we didn't... Wait. What did he just say to them that made them so mad? He just said, "I and the Father are one." And that, in terminology, he did not mean that we're in agreement. He meant, "I'm God." And the proof of it is how mad they got at him. Watch their response and watch his response. The Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works I have shown you from my Father." You know what? Let me put it more with an attitude that I think that I'm seeing this thing play out. "Many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me?" The Jews answered, saying, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." They knew what he was saying, even if every Jehovah Witness don't. "I am God," he says. They pick up stones to stone him. He says to them, "I've done a lot of good works around you so far. Which one are you stoning me for?" He said, "We're not stoning you because of the good works you've done. We're stoning you because you just called yourself God." Man. 34, Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law?" Now, what he's going to do is he's going to quote from Psalm 82. And this is where he says, if you want to trade Bible verses with me, if you really want to do this, okay, let's do it now, because I've had enough for you. I'm telling you, that's what he says to himself. He's got to. I'm going to get to heaven. He's going to go, "You're wrong." But I don't think so. I really hope not. Is it not written in your law, I said you are gods? Again, quoting Psalm 82, you can read that psalm later. If he called them gods to whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into this world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not do the works of my Father, don't believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore, they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hand. And he went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was baptizing at first. There he stayed. Then many came to him and said, John performed no sign, but all the things that John spoke about this man were true. And many believed in him there. Listen, he says to them, you don't have to believe in me. Okay, but let me prove to you, it's not me you don't believe in. I've done all these works that my Father has called me to do. Healed, raised the dead. You name all the things that we've watched from the water and the wine till this. Water and the wine was the first one, right up until now. He said, if you don't believe me, at least believe that the Father is in me because I'm doing his works. And their response was, get him. Why? Because it didn't matter. They hated him because they hated him. They hated everything that was in him. This was a spiritual hate that goes deep. When you wonder why people at work hate you, when you wonder why half your family hates you, when you wonder why the people at your meeting hate you, you'll know why. Because you are filled with the Spirit and they can't handle that. They don't even know why they hate you. I just hate that guy. That girl. I think I'm done. Let me just check real quick. There's one other thing that's really cool. This I was going to show you real quick. Go back to verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. You see the word for and gives his life for the sheep. You see that? That is the Greek word hooper, H-U-P-E-R, which doesn't mean for, that's a bad rendering. It means instead of. The Lord Jesus gave his life instead of your life. You owe a debt that you can't pay, so he paid a debt that he didn't know. If you have not yet surrendered, given over, accepted Christ as your Savior, you do it knowing everything. That because of the things that you have done in your life, which do not measure up to the law, the Ten Commandments are really clear. Thou shalt not steal. How many of you guys have stolen? Thou shalt not lie. How many of you guys have lied? Thou shalt not blaspheme. Take the Lord's name in vain. How many of you have done that? Guess what? We are a bunch of lying, thieving, blaspheming murderers. Oh, you might say, I never murdered anybody. Well, the Lord Jesus said, if you wish somebody ill, that's the same as murdering them. Therefore, you shall not get through the gate of heaven without a redeemer. If I go before a judge and the judge says to you, okay, did you ever lie? Yeah. Did you ever steal? Yep. Did you ever murder? Well, according to you, I have. Well, did you ever take God's name in vain? Yep. So tell me something. Are you guilty or you're not guilty? What is the price of your guilt? What is the cost of your freedom? What is it? You must pay. Must pay it why? Who paid? What's the pay? I don't get it. Listen, heaven that this book talks about, eternal life, you think you get it just because you were born? I mean, is there any fairness there? So Hitler, who killed 6 million Jews, not to mention blacks, Hispanics, and every other thing that didn't look like him, he just gets away with it. Mussolini, Mao Zedong, I mean, all of them. Think about all the wickedness that's ever existed in the world. Should they get away with this? They get heaven just because they're born? Or is your excuse, you're not Hitler, so you get to go to heaven? Oh, so I see. So your reasoning is you get to go to heaven because you're not as bad as them. So you're less bad. Less bad than Hitler means heaven. No. No. The price was hell. I'm sorry, the cost, the reward for your actions, for our actions, is hell. But the freedom is given because the judge had somebody who paid the price. Somebody came in and said, I got this. You know who it was? Him. He said, I got this. But you understand, I'm a blasphemer. I got it. But you don't understand, I'm a murderer. I got it. But you don't understand. Got you. I got you. The price has been paid. So how do you get out of prison? How do you, as the Bible just said, go in and out? You have to open up the door to your heart and let Christ in. You have to kind of admit to yourself that you're going to be a sheep. You can't say, I don't want to go to hell, I'll accept him and keep doing what I want. Well, you can try. Yes, and God's a fool. Okay. If anybody here has not accepted Christ as their Savior, you are not free, you're not forgiven, you are going to hell. It's the way it is. If you want to accept Christ as your Savior, you say to God, God, I'm sorry, I accept your Son, set me free from the misery that I have not just afflicted upon myself, but all those around me. Or something to like that. Or just make a noise, just go, ugh. God hears that too. Okay, I'm done. 3 o'clock, we're going to be at the pier. If anybody wants to get baptized, it's a great day for salvation and baptism. Today is the day of the Lord. What does that verse say? I like it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for being a good shepherd. Thank you so much for saving us. God, I proclaim something that I would never have proclaimed some 30 years ago. I am a sheep. I'm a dumb, easy, wandering fool of a sheep. And gladly consider myself your sheep. God, and I do pray for here, if there's anyone here that has not yet proclaimed themselves as your sheep, God, today be a good day. God, I ask you to burden hearts. If there's somebody that needs to be baptized, may they be there to be baptized. Thank you, God. I don't know how people do it without you. I'm so glad you came into my life. Bless us in Christ's name. Amen. 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 Amen.